Hello and welcome to Arxiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new Arxiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're going to dig into a paper and see what it actually changes for people building or using AI. The paper we're looking at is titled Privacy Challenges and Solutions in Retrieval Augmented Generation Enhanced LLMs for Healthcare Chatbots,
a review of applications, risks, and future directions.
It's timely because RAG-powered chatbots are moving into clinics and patient portals right now, regulators are watching closely, and we've already seen real privacy incidents from misrouted or overshared data. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI/technical side. Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, the pain starts where patient data meets automation. The first time we tried a RAG chatbot on top of clinical FAQs and some internal KBs, it was helpful, until someone pasted a snippet from an EHR into the chat and we suddenly had PHI in the model context. Big red flag. Teams need three things. One, no accidental exposure of another patient's info when retrieving similar cases. Two, auditability. We have to show what documents were pulled, by whom, and why. And three, consent and role awareness. A nurse, a pharmacist, and a billing rep shouldn't see the same retrieval results. Support staff also need accurate retrieval of the right record, not a close match that causes confusion. And compliance is everywhere. HIPAA, GDPR expectations, retention rules, and clear logs for auditors. Without that, even a great answer is unusable in production.
So if I sum that up, you want the bot to answer precisely with the right patient's data, not overshare, and leave a clean trail that an auditor can follow with consent and role-based rules baked in. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
Two big drivers. First, RAG took off because LLMs can't safely memorize everything and context windows are finite. We ground answers by retrieving relevant documents via embeddings. In healthcare, that grounding collides with privacy. Naive retrieval can pull similar but wrong notes or expose identifiers, and the more context you stuff in, the higher the leakage risk. Second, we're at a maturity point where organizations expect production-grade controls, policy-aware retrieval, per-user access filters, and strong observability. The trade-off is real. Helpfulness wants more context. Privacy wants strictly the minimum. This paper surfaces that tension and catalogs patterns to balance it, which is why it's landing now. What this review paper really does is lay out a playbook for privacy-aware RAG in healthcare chatbots. It catalogs mitigations across the pipeline: data minimization at ingestion, privacy-aware retrieval with policy filters, secure index construction, think encrypted embeddings or keeping indexes inside secure enclaves or on-prem, strong access controls, and query sanitization before anything touches the vector store. It also covers heavier options like differential privacy when you're aggregating data for analytics, and it highlights evaluation frameworks to measure both faithfulness of answers and privacy leakage. Compared to prior work, standard RAG with naive PII redaction or ad hoc ACLs, this paper provides a systematic taxonomy of risks and design patterns teams can adopt rather than reinventing them case by case.
Basically, they're giving us a checklist. Only load what you must, clean the question before it searches, lock down the index, and test whether answers are grounded and not leaking. Mark, say what it would change in actual usage.
On the ground, it changes the plumbing. You add an ingestion step that tags fields, patient IDs, dates, providers, and marks consent status. Your indexing job attaches metadata like role visibility, patient scope, department, and retention. At query time, the retriever uses those flags so a billing rep can't accidentally pull a clinician's note. Clinicians and support agents see fewer hallucinations because retrieval is narrower and better grounded, but you introduce new friction. Approvals for new sources, a can't answer with current consent fallback, and more QA on prompts and citations before you push updates.
Got it. Tighter pipes, fewer surprises, but some gates along the way. Let's make it concrete. Mark, walk us through a simple clinic chatbot for medication questions, step by step.
Simple use case. Outpatient clinic. Med questions only. Step 1. Data sources. FDA labels, local formulary, clinic dosing protocols. No PHI in this corpus. Step 2. Sanitize and create a micro-index per role. Patient-facing index with plain language guidance. Clinician index with dosing adjustments and contraindications. Step 3. Indexing cadence, weekly rebuild plus a daily delta job. Step 4. Prompt templates. Answer only from cited documents, include section and line. If not found, say you don't know. Step 5. Minimal consent capture. If the user mentions a patient, the flow pushes them to the general info path or asks them to switch to the patient portal where identity and consent are verified before any patient-specific retrieval. Step 6. Logging. Store which doc chunks were cited and the role that queried, so audits are one query away.
So that's a safe starter. No patient data in the index, clear roles, and tight prompts. Let's level up. Mark, describe a multi-tenant hospital where the bot pulls patient-specific notes only when it should.
Advanced case. A vendor hosts chatbots for multiple hospitals. Each tenant has its own index or namespace. Inside a tenant, retrieval is conditional on a patient context that comes from the EHR, encounter ID, relationship to patient, and consent flags. A policy engine, usually ABAC, evaluates role, department, and treatment relationship before the query can touch any patient-specific chunks. We log the doc IDs, the policy that allowed access, and a purpose of use tag for every answer. Rollout is staged. Dev with synthetic PHI, a pilot on one unit like cardiology, then broader production with rate limits and alerting. Policies are authored by compliance with IT, implemented by the platform team, and reviewed monthly.
Jamie, connect the dots for us. How do those mechanics map to what the paper proposes?
It's the paper's patterns in action. Conditional retrieval is the policy-driven filter before similarity search. Filter by tenant, then by patient and role, then do vector search. Query sanitization strips incidental identifiers or hashes them so the vector DB isn't seeded with raw PHI. Secure index options include encrypting embeddings at rest with keys managed by the tenant or placing the vector store inside a secure enclave or VPC-isolated appliance, so decryption happens server-side in a controlled boundary. For extra caution, you can keep highly sensitive notes off the index and retrieve via on-prem keyword search first, then re-rank. The trade-offs are latency and cost. More policy checks, crypto, and smaller candidate sets. So you tune K, cache frequently accessed guidelines, and use streaming responses to keep UX snappy while controls run.
And who owns the knobs? Who writes policies? Who watches the logs? Who decides what goes in the index, Jamie?
Policy writing typically sits with compliance and privacy officers, but it's codified by platform or MLOps as machine-readable rules, OPA, or a custom policy service. Security manages keys and access to enclaves. Data engineering owns the ingestion schema and metadata tags, patient ID, consent, role visibility. Observability is shared. Product ops watches latency and deflection. Security reviews access logs and anomaly alerts. Clinical governance reviews sampled chats for faithfulness and leakage. The paper emphasizes keeping these responsibilities explicit and traceable.
Perfect. Before we move on, quick lightning round. Jamie, expected benefits in a sentence or two. Then Mark, immediate next steps for a team thinking about this.
Benefits. You reduce privacy leakage risk by constraining retrieval to what the user is authorized to see. And you improve faithfulness because answers are grounded in the right, smaller set of documents with citations. The cost is some added latency and engineering complexity, but it's manageable with good caching, streaming, and careful policy design.
Next steps. Pick one narrow use case, inventory sources, and design the metadata schema, role, consent, patient scope. Choose a vector store that supports metadata filters and encryption at rest, wire a policy service into the retriever, and stand up audit logging from day one. Run a 2 to 4 week pilot with synthetic then real data, red team for leakage, and only then expand scope.
Under the hood, the paper assumes a fairly controlled setup. Most of the studies it reviews use de-identified or simulated PHI to avoid live exposure, and they test on curated QA datasets where ground truth is known. Retrieval relies on specific embedding model choices. Think a standard sentence transformer or OpenAI med-specific embeddings, and the results can shift if you swap those out. Threat models are explicit. Many assume an honest but curious insider or a compromised application user, less often a full external breach of the vector store. They also assume policy checks happen before retrieval, not after generation. On limitations, secure retrieval adds overhead, crypto, policy evaluation, sometimes enclave bootstrapping. Heavy privacy layers like differential privacy can degrade answer utility if you apply strong noise. Evaluating faithfulness at scale remains hard. Many works rely on LLM as judge or small expert panels. Future work they call out: live clinical evaluations, standardized privacy leakage benchmarks for RAG, better metrics that combine faithfulness with privacy risk, and tooling to make policy-aware retrieval easier to adopt.
Basically, most evidence comes from careful lab setups with fake or scrubbed patient data, certain models and embeddings, and a clear insider-focused threat model. Jamie, what kind of numbers or metrics did they actually report across those studies?
It's a literature roll-up, so they reference a mix. For utility, you see QA metrics like exact match and F1 on clinical question sets, plus faithfulness or citation precision scores, sometimes judged by clinicians or by an LLM with spot checks. For privacy, they reference leakage tests, such as canary token retrieval, membership inference style probes, and red team prompt injection trials that try to coerce the bot to reveal identifiers. On systems metrics, they discuss cost and latency deltas when you turn on encryption at rest or enclave-backed vector search, and the impact of strict policy filters on recall. The gist is consistent. Policy-aware filtering and sanitized queries reduce leakage and improve groundedness, but you pay with added latency and some recall loss. Most of these results are from controlled experiments or prior literature, not longitudinal hospital rollouts.
So, in practice, this means you may get stronger privacy, but slightly slower responses, and the tests were often lab-style, not full hospital rollouts. Mark, how does this translate to org setup, and what should teams prepare?
What usually happens is you start with a map of data sources, EHR notes, discharge summaries, guidelines, and tag the sensitive bits, patient IDs, dates, rare disease terms, clinician names. You nominate policy owners, compliance and clinical governance to author rules like who can see what, for which purpose. Platform or MLOps implements those rules in the retriever, not just in the app layer. You add monitoring, access logs tied to user identity, anomaly alerts for unusual retrieval patterns, and a basic incident response playbook if something leaks. Then UX training. Clinicians and support staff learn the new behavior. Citations on every answer, occasional can't answer with current consent, and a button to request access. Timelines. 2 to 8 weeks for a pilot if your data is already cataloged. Expect production to underperform lab metrics at first. Latency bumps from policy checks, occasional false negatives from strict filters, until you tune caches, metadata quality, and prompts.
And to close us out from the field, Mark, who benefits the most from adopting these patterns right now, and under what conditions?
Mid-sized hospitals and multi-clinic networks with mixed roles, nurses, billing, pharmacy, get the biggest lift because policy-aware retrieval immediately cuts cross-patient leakage risk. Vendors running multi-tenant chatbots benefit too. The tenant and patient scoping is non-negotiable there. Conditions for success: a clean data catalog, a clear policy owner, and an EHR integration that can assert patient context and consent. If you don't have those, start with non-PHI use cases like medication education while you build the plumbing.
Bottom line, this paper gives teams a practical blueprint, patterns, trade-offs, and evaluation angles to build RAG chatbots that respect healthcare privacy without flying blind. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArxivLLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.